You guys, I feel like I'm like standing up here already and I just want to sing that song, These Are a Few of My Favorite Things, because like a group of women and breakfast and tea and I mean amazing worship, I'm like, whew, yeah, I feel like just singing a few of my favorite things. So, but anyways, I am completely honored to stand here. I am at many times baffled to why God has allowed me to be in the presence of women and sharing his story that he has given me. But anyways, just like I said earlier, I love to be in a group full of women. This is, I think I love it so much because it represents a lot. And we have in this room, there's a lot of stories. And sometimes there's being stories told that we don't really need to be telling. You know, we have a group of women, but a lot. I mean, and but there's a lot of stories here that each of you women represent that have a lot of power, that have a lot of that have a lot of pain, that have a lot of strength, that have a lot of courage, that have a lot of beauty. And sometimes those aren't even shared. And I really hope by the end of this, if that is the case, that you guys will find that courage from the Lord to start sharing your story. But it is, it's the truth of it is that, like, I mean, if you have little girls, if you have, I mean, just like look around, look at Disney, look at these stories and how it captivates and how it pierces and how you see these things like this. I mean, we were just talking, I think it was to Emma, and just about her stories, but good wins, you know, and we just love watching and hearing stories. But ladies, I just really want to encourage you with your stories just to not be ashamed, and that you would start peeling that shame off of you, or maybe that, oh, that mine's not really that big or anything. And that's really a lie of whatever God has brought you through and where you are. That in itself is a powerful tool that each one of you have been given. And it's a tool that is given to help share Christ with the world. And so, ladies, I do hope that this encourages you to look into yourself with that and what God has uniquely and individually wrote for you. But anyways, I brought an example of this because we see them, we know them, but I brought you an example of this that I have had the opportunity for the past 3.5 years to see, to like just watch and everything, to go through beauty, tragedy, struggle, rescue, mission, and I've even gotten the uniqueness of seeing beauty restored. And I do feel honored with being able to see that, because sometimes we don't get to see the beauty restored until we are in the presence of the Lord. And so anyways, I brought the head clippings because I think it's cool to have visuals, but I've gotten to see this all work out. Cincinnati firefighter killed on the way to work. Firefighter remembered, love for God, family, and life. Finding life after tragedy. And then I think, Meg, you also have a video.
Yep.
What started as a simple hello ended up being so much more.
I am going to meet you for 5 months and 14 days.
On April 30th, Elizabeth Panisic and her husband Jordan celebrated their son's first birthday with their two other...
We're having some technological...
That is A-okay. Meg has worked wonders because I gave her this today. So this lady right here.
We're winging it. The first one, I might have to find again.
That's okay.
Yeah. Anything you want to share while I'm pulling it up?
You know what? It's really not. We don't have to.
Yeah.
That's okay. But anyways, like just getting to watch this story and seeing this 3.5 years ago starting to play out, and you're just like, I'm just like, I can't remember looking at it and just being like, that, how could you win, Lord, with this? But anyways, that's not it. That's not the one. But is there another? That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is, gives you more of a recap too here. Thank you, Meg.
Might have an ad first.
No worries. No worries. When it starts up. But anyways, ladies, I am not here today because I am full of this amazing doctrinal wisdom. I've never wrote a book. I don't have this fancy blog. I would like to learn how to blog though. But I haven't been to seminary, but I am very, I'm very much like you. And we are kind of on this journey together. But I'm here today because what you're watching right here, this became my story. This is my story. And I'm here today and I just want to share it more with you. But like I said, I'm a wife, I'm a mother of three, I'm a homeschool mama, I'm a doula. Does anybody know what a doula? I'm a doula, yeah. So it's a birth coach pretty much. It's just a crazy word. I'm a sister, I am a daughter. And 3.5 years ago, when I was 31, I got the labels of single mom and widow put on my back. And you are okay. You're doing great.
It's not like in this situation.
That is A-okay. We'll just keep it rolling. I love that, you know, it's just... That's okay. If it pops up, we'll stop, we'll watch, but
yeah,
no biggie.
It shows up.
It's no biggie. But a little background to this. Meg, you can even, if you want, just don't even worry about it, but you can go on to the next slides too if you'd like. But I want to give you a little background to this. When I was in college, I met my husband, Jordan, and that is actually how we met Ron Tudor and then eventually Catherine. And we got married our senior year of college. And we, after we graduated college, we moved back to Ohio. And Jordan became a firefighter. And the same day he became a firefighter was the same day I found out we were pregnant with our oldest daughter, Lily Mae. And we lived North Ohio. We were going down to Cincinnati, which is Southern Ohio. And we had to hurry up and find a place to live. And so we started our adventure. We headed down. He got on the Cincinnati Fire Department. And in the span of almost 10 years, we had three children, Lily Mae, Zoe, and Ever. And you guys, like, we were not perfect by any means. We had our struggle. We overcame sexual addiction. We were fighting with that. We were, but we were a family that had mission. We had a mission statement. We had to pursue truth, find life, and invite others to do the same. And so we really wanted to be on mission together and wanted our children to have that focus as well. And so one day we lived in a subdivision and we were just like walking. We had our stroller, Ever was in there, our two girls were on the side, we're taking a walk. And we were almost like, this looks a little perfectly disgusting. You know, like here's our golden retriever at that, we're walking. And we're just like, this just looks a little gross in a way, like almost too perfect. But anyways, on April 30th, we got to celebrate Ever, and he's our youngest, and we got to celebrate Ever's birthday, and we also were celebrating some friends that were getting ready to move. They were our best friends, they were getting ready to move to Colorado. And so it was just a day of celebration, you know. And so the next day, May 1st, Jordan woke up to head out to the fire department, and he loved his work. He would have been a fireman even if he didn't, but it was his avenue that God gave him to share the gospel. It became our mission. We wanted to have the fire department around our table because we wanted them to know who Christ was. And if they could get around our table and meet our family and just start hanging out, we could get to share Christ with them. And so that became just kind of like our mission area was the Cincinnati Fire Department. And so he got up to go, and we had family in because of Everett's birthday, and then we just, so our sleeping arrangements were a little off. Zoe, our middle, was on like a cot by our bed, and so I didn't get up with him, and he got dressed, and he goes, "Hey, hun, do you want me to put Zoe in bed with you?" And I said, "Sure." He put her into bed with me, and I was just cuddling her. He was doing some other stuff in the room, and he came over, and he rubbed my arm. And he said, "I love you." And I grabbed his hand and I said, "Thank you for working so hard for our family. Have fun at work today." 2 hours from that point, I would get a knock on our door. And I was still in my pajamas and I was nursing Ever. So, you know, I have like this long, like, you know, gray thing on. And, you know, I'm nursing, so there's a little bit of leakage going on. And so, anyways, I get a knock on the door, and I could see through this window on the top of our steps. I'm holding Ever, and I'm looking out the window, and I see the chief of the Cincinnati Fire Department. And the girls, my two older ones, come running down the steps because kids get excited when the door's knocking. And they run down the steps, and with all my heart, I wanted to say, "Stop, don't open that door." Because I knew when I opened that door, their biggest pain would be walking in. I knew that something had to happen, that they were there at the door. So from about that point, I asked, my mother-in-law actually was in, so I'm thankful that God set that up. I asked her, and she stared at me. She knew what was going on. And by God's grace and the work of the Holy Spirit, I could put my hand on her face and say, "It's going to be okay. I need you to take the kids, and we're going to be okay." They then continued to tell me that as Jordan was a mile out from the department, that a car had crossed over 3 lanes of traffic and hit him and killed him instantly. Jordan, at that point, he was on his motorcycle. He always wanted a motorcycle. And I was like, "Okay, just go do it. Just do it. We're not going to live life in fear." So he had that motorcycle for exactly 1 month. And it was then on our 10-year wedding anniversary, which we planned to renew our vows, it was the day that I buried Jordan. And so, ladies, I don't want to say this to, I'm not here to give, like, that hurts. It does hurt. But I want you, when I leave this area, to remember what God does. And so pain never has its proper time to arrive, which you guys all know. It is never convenient, and it is never easy. We are all experiencing at this point of our life some sort of death, maybe not a physical death, that maybe not the death of your spouse, but there's a chance here that a death of a child, maybe it's a death of a job. Maybe it's a death of an innocence of you. Maybe it is with your spouse of a divorce. And we each have our pain. And so I know when we go through this, we start trying to understand why the people around us try to understand, why would this happen? You know, why would this happen to a family that loves God? They go on mission. They brought their little girl to Africa. Like, why would this happen? You know, where's Jesus? Where's this person that they serve? You know, the fire department, many men would ask me that. Why would this happen? And And you guys, I had to have my serious, honest conversations with God. And that is good. I want to encourage you. That's okay. He's not shaking like we're going to find something out that like he's wrong. You know, like say it. Talk to him about it. But I told him, I was just like, I don't want this. I don't want this. I remember I was in bed and I was just, I mean, it was ugly. It's ugly. And I was just like, I don't want this and I hate this. And I don't agree with you, God, but I trust you. And so I want to encourage you guys with that today. Where you are, you don't have to like it. You don't have to want it. And you don't even have to agree with him. But I do want to encourage you to trust him. I remember in this moment, just also just like I wanted in every part of me to choose him. To choose him, because the pain that I had to have of telling at that time a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, your daddy died. Daddy is not going to come back home from work. He's now with Jesus. Their earthly protection and provision was instantly gone, and there was no other pain in my life as of that I could say would hurt. Hearing the words, Mommy, but why would God do that? And I just say, I don't know, baby, but I trust him. I don't know. And I wish so bad that we could heal that I could just put that Band-Aid on, but I can't. And so it gave me that moment and all these things, the interactions with the kids of hearing their suffering, of me trying to keep myself afloat, and then like, trying to keep 3 kids afloat. And I'm sorry, band, if I did something. I'm not good with technology. But anyways, I just remember saying to him, like, please help me. Please help me with a little bit of strength that I have, that the little bit that I can muster up. Please let me choose you in this. Help me to choose you, even though I don't really like what you've done right now. Help me to trust you, and help me to be just not a hearer of the word, but Jesus, help me to be a doer in this moment. And so in these moments, you guys, of just when we are crying out to God, and I just the comfort that he brought me through his word, and I really realize what it means to be to be that deer that pants for the water, because, I mean, when you are dry, when you just need him, you need that daily bread, you need it every second. That's actually a good thing. That's a good spot that I've learned. But I love how he comforted me in showing me where I could relate to 2 other women who've experienced loss, and we're trying to make sense of it. And that's where I would like to start today with in our reading. If you brought your Bible, you can get to John 11. If not, I even want to encourage you guys, just close your eyes. I'm going to read it to you. It's kind of a long one. And so just let the Spirit pierce you in it, that you can listen and see maybe where you fit into this story. And so before we do that, I just want to pray. Ladies, if you would just even join me in like in a posture of prayer, of just opening your hands up just for a second. I'm going to just take a deep breath. Our God and King, your word is living and active, and it is sharper than any 2-edged sword. God, I ask that today that you would pierce myself and the women to the bone and to the marrow. God, that we would be able to lay aside every weight and every sin that clings so closely, knowing that you are the perfecter and the founder of our faith. God, as our hands are open, I pray that we just take time to hand over anything that we are holding right now. It's a posture of open, of here you go, Lord, knowing that you want to take it and you want to carry. And God, as our hands are open, I pray that we would receive, that we would take what you have to give us as a good, good God. And with open hands, we can hold your hand, that you hold us with your righteous right hand, and you will lead us. And so, God, I thank you for your word, and just I pray that that we can just silence ourselves and that we can hear it and it can pierce us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, it's kind of a long one, so here we go. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anybody walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I will go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought they meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to the fellow disciples, let us go, that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account so that the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen stripes, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." In these, I love this story, and I can still remember when I first read this, and a little after Jordan was killed. And I just loved reading it because it allowed me to step out of my pain for a second, and that I got to see the entire picture of a story. That I got to see the start and the finish of it, and it allowed me to have different and a bigger perspective. I got to kind of process it and apply it to my life. And so I hope these words, that we can kind of walk through them today a little bit more, and that they can do the same for you guys. There's a lot that we could talk about in this, and so I get kind of antsy. It's like, oh, this would be really cool, and this would be really cool. I just really wanted to talk to you guys about the three questions that continually went in my mind and still is in my mind for the past 3.5 years. And the first one that I kind of want us to look at, and when we read this, the big overarching one to me was, whose perspective do I have? And so when we look at this, we have Jesus' perspective, and then we have Mary, Martha's, and we have her Jewish friends that were there. We have the disciples. We have all these people's other view of like, but Jesus, did you not know that, you know, like, while he's sleeping, why do we have to go? Jesus has a bigger picture for his disciples so that you may believe. He has a bigger picture for Mary and Martha. He stayed there. He loved them. It says there that Jesus loved them. And we have that a lot when we're in pain. Well, I thought Jesus loved me. He does love you. He loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And I always thought it was funny at first when I first read this. It was like, oh, and then he stayed for 2 days longer. I was like, what? Why didn't you get going? You know, and how Mary and Martha, when they saw them, they're like, well, if you were here, this wouldn't have happened. He was there. He knew exactly what was happening. He had the bigger perspective. Ladies, he had the eternal perspective. A lot of times when we're in our pain, when I was and am and in pain, a lot of times we can see right here. We can only see what is happening at this current moment. And we're not able to see the ripples of what is going to come from the decisions you make in this pain, and that what God had allowed to happen. And I want to encourage you that there was a point in that I had to realize that God meant for me to be right where I was. That wasn't an accident, but that God meant for me to be right where I was. I had to continually die to myself, and my faith had never been more challenged in my life. I felt like no other time, like there was this crossroads for me, that I felt like I am either going to show who God is and my faith will be increased, or I am going to have Satan laugh at me because, oh, you can say all this, you want to share this truth with people, but you can't live it right now. In no other time in our pain will we be challenged that for what we stand on, what we say, what we're, you know, wanting to go out into the communities to tell people. Pain brings us to that moment of what we're going to choose. And that can actually be a very beautiful thing that we don't need to run from, but it sharpens us and it is good. That leads me kind of to my second question. And the second one in this is, am I willing to be uncomfortable for Jesus to be glorified? And the verse that in this that really hit me was that this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified. Mary and Martha were uncomfortable while Jesus was being glorified in that moment. They had pain in that moment. But as we see at the end, who was glorified in that, we can also see that, you guys, like, Jesus was saddened for them. He didn't like what they were feeling. He wept. Jesus, I just remember this one time, and we're just going to get really personal here because it's just us women, so I can. I remember when I was getting to that phase of I missed my husband sexually, and that was amazing for me. I was like, I really miss that. I mean, I just missed the intimacy that with Jordan. We walked through thick mud for our intimacy. Jordan struggled with sexual addiction, and he would be, if he was here, he'd be the first one to share that. He wasn't ashamed to share what he struggled with. And so we fought hard, and I remember, and then by the time that he was killed, we were like walking in like ankle size mud, you know? And it was freeing, and our sex life became beautiful and desired. And I was mad. I was like, why would you, God, have us do all that hard work? Why did we have so much struggle with that and perseverance? And then he just dies, and now I want to have sex. And I can't. And it was just like in this moment that I was just like, this is unfair. And it was so sweet because I just felt him say, it is. This isn't right. What has happened to you, he didn't want to happen. And I just remember hearing that, like, this wasn't my plan. Your pain and what you're going through, this wasn't my plan. But I did make a plan to make it to, I did make a plan for your rescue. And it was just in that sweet moment that it was okay to tell him and that he understood. He had compassion on me. And I also had to have this realization with myself that what I must have grown up, I don't know if you guys have too, but the word good also came with the word comfortable. So if I'm comfortable, things are good. But I think, you know, us, if you are a mom or just even if you know children, we realize that what is good for our kids might not be comfortable. And we need them to have that little bit of uncomfortable so that they'll be safe and that they just continue to grow. And so I had to ask myself, am I more concerned about God's glory than for my own relief? And that's continually I'm asking myself that. Am I more concerned about God's glory than my relief? And so in this, it is, it's any of our stories, where is it? And as followers of Christ, I think sometimes if we can just be real, that comfortable, we want to be comfortable. But if we can lay aside our comfort, which is so hard to say with so many different stories, and so it is hard for me to stand up here and say that, to know though that he cares and that he promises, he doesn't promise to keep us comfortable, he says, but I will comfort you. And so there is a very big difference, and I've gotten to learn between that difference between comfortable and comfort. The last question that I had to ask myself, and at times became one of the harder ones, is, And I wanted to, just to get ready, that last video, we'll probably be seeing it here in a second. The last question I had to ask myself, and it was harder for me at times, am I willing to be uncomfortable for others so that they will know Jesus? Now, it was easier for me to say, yes, I know what Jesus has done for me and how he loves me, but like, can I do this for others? Can I stay uncomfortable for others? And especially when I get to others who have hurt me. I think that's that was my tricky. But never more in my life than when Jordan was killed. He was a Cincinnati firefighter, and so that became very newsy. And within the hour, before I even knew, it was on the news. I didn't even know this. We didn't turn the TV on in the mornings and things like that. And so within hours, my house is filled with firefighters and with news reporters and things like that. And I again, let's go back. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I homeschool my kids. I'm not like, you know, like out there. And so I instantly, people like to watch when you're suffering. Ladies, never more will you be able to share Christ than when you're suffering, because people, I hate saying it, but we love to watch suffering. People are interested in your life when you're suffering. And I don't say that in a harsh way, like as like, you know, we do. We want to care for our sisters or brothers who are, and so we want to raise them up in prayer. So please don't hear me wrong in that. But a world who does not have Christ in their life, they know you do, they want to see how you're going to choose to suffer in this. And I remember I was in our little half bathroom and everything was going on, and I'm just like, I don't know what to do, because I just want to scream and say, get out of my house, just get out. And there was so much going on. I felt like I was literally naked. Like, people saw like my underwear, and they were just all over, and they were just into everything. And people would come up to me that I had no clue in the grocery store and be like, you are that firefighter's wife. Or see my kids and be like, that's Ever. And I was just like, just go. You know, and I just kept reminding, or God kept reminding me that it's like in those moments we have that ability to share with a very broken world, a very amazing rescuer in this. And so I kept saying, like, I have this choice between life or death right now, you know, and with all in me, God, help me to share that life. And so I know a lot of you who have felt pain, you want to shut it out. You don't want anyone to know. You don't want them to see it. You don't want them to hear of it. It is yours. And so I want to encourage you guys that maybe it isn't. Maybe that pain, just like the disciples had to see it so God would be glorified, and that the Jews who were there that saw Lazarus, they got to see it. It's not just yours. And I promise you, when you let that open, that he will, again, comfort you. I can guarantee you it will not be comfortable. I am not comfortable right now. I am not comfortable standing up here. You guys make it easy because you're very sweet. One of the biggest in that is, you know, I remember, so when Jordan died, the chief, Jordan's parents, my pastor, who's also our good friend, everyone was sitting around this table, and it hit me just like that right now in this moment, I am able to share. Jordan and I are able to tell more people about Christ, more of the fire department, than we ever could if he was alive. Because the entire Cincinnati Fire Department was there at his funeral. This story has been told multiple times to multiple people. People have come to know the Lord because of this. People, it has gotten to go far more than what Jordan and I could do on our own. I remember we got married because we wanted to, you know, we felt God could do more with us together than apart. And then I realized in that moment, God could do more for us, more for his kingdom apart than together. And so God kept laying one more person on my heart, and his name is Patrick Tucker. And Patrick and Jordan met at 6:06 a.m. on May 1st. And he was the man driving the other car. And I had to continue to ask myself, this man who has caused me the most amount of pain in my entire life, that this man who makes my children cry because their daddy is no longer alive, what does that look like for me to show him Christ in the midst of my pain? And that's something I continually have to check my heart with. But God laid it on very a lot that it's like this man, I didn't have to punish him. That's not my job in the pain that he's caused me to punish him, because I have a God who knows more. If I believe in God, I believe he is just then. And so it's not my time to go out there. But Liz, you just met this man, and maybe that's because he needs to know who Christ is. And so I want to show a video to you that happened in the courtroom for his sentencing. And this was very public. The courtroom and everything. And when we guys allow Christ to come into the areas that he's placed us because of our pain, maybe it's a hospital, or maybe it's in a new job, or maybe it's with a new group of friends, or maybe it's with this whole group of people that you had no clue. I had no clue how to work the judicial system. Like, I had to learn about courts and things like that, and I had no clue, but I know I could bring Jesus into the courtroom. And so I just wanted to share and bring you guys into that day.
Get Spectrum Mobile with our unlimited
data
plan.
Spectrum
$45 a line. With no taxes and fees and one low price for every line.
One
switch
low
now,
price
save
a
up
month.
To 40%
come
on your
to Cincinnati
wireless
and live, and
get
you
our unlimited
can have
data
Spectrum
plan for $45 a line on every line. Click to learn more.
Hi, Patrick.
What started as a simple hello ended up being so much more.
I have been wanting to meet you for 5 months and 14 days.
On April 30th, Elizabeth Panisic and her husband Jordan celebrated their son's first birthday with their two other children. The next morning, Panisic was struck and killed by Patrick Tucker while riding his motorcycle into work at the Cincinnati Fire Department. Tucker tearfully spoke to Panisic's family for the first time since the crash.
There are times where I wish that I could have been, that could have been me, that got the worst of the accident. But I know with Jordan's strong faith in Christ, he would want me to keep my head up.
Tucker pled guilty to manslaughter and homicide charges. Dozens of members of Panisic's family sat in rows in the courtroom, right behind Tucker's family. The reality for both, visibly, a lot to bear.
Me and my mother watched this homeboy via the internet, and it was kind of tough to watch.
As Panisic's wife and mother spoke with Tucker, there wasn't a dry eye in the house.
So Patrick, as I stand here, I want you to know he's saying the same thing to you. Arise. You do not need to be defined as the man who has killed Jordan Panisic.
Panisic's family offered forgiveness, grace, and mercy, something they say Jordan Panisic would have wanted for Tucker, who works two jobs and used to play football at Princeton High School. They encouraged the judge not to send Tucker to jail, instead to do service.
No matter the forgiveness I offer you or the sentencing the judge deems best for you, God's never-ending, never-giving-up, always-and-forever love will be waiting for you.
Alexis Rogers, WLWT News 5.
So...
Why do you need fast, reliable internet so your world doesn't turn upside down? Turn it around.
Okay. So in that moment, you guys, I got to experience one of the most amazing things I've ever gotten to. When we get to step in and offer forgiveness, we, at no other time in our life, I feel like, are we more like Christ. And I feel it was an honor. You could just feel the spirit in that courtroom just rush. The bailiff was crying. I was like, there's a big man even crying. Like, and then after it, the judge asked me to come back into her quarters, she is Jewish. And she was crying, and she just said, he did not get what he deserved. And I don't know how you could offer him so much grace. She's like, my own mom is dying, who is in her 90s, and she's dying, and I can't handle it. And you just offered that man grace. And in that moment, I got to share with her Jesus. And that's not, guys, I want you to know, too, that's not of this lady. Like, this is, I hope you all know that, and that's what I even talked to Catherine. I don't ever want you guys to think, like, wow, look at her. Absolutely not. This whole thing would be a fail if you walked away saying, wow, look at that girl. Because it is, wow, look at that God, when we can follow what he has given us in his word. In Mary and Martha's deepest pain, they got to experience one of Jesus' most miraculous miracles here on earth. And I dare say, and I hate saying this too with some pains that are here, guys, it is worth it. Do I hate it still? Absolutely, I do. But is it worth it to see God lifted up? I got to see a courtroom just smeared with Jesus. I got to hear, seriously, if you could, angels just rejoicing and be like, yeah, Satan, you're going down. You know what I mean? Like, it was like he got smashed in this face because what he meant for evil, God meant for good, and it was put on display for people to see. This is on Cincinnati. This is Cincinnati news. It was all over. You know what I mean? And so, you guys, would I want Jordan to have died? No. But I don't understand eternal. And so, I got to see that, and I feel like that was part of that beauty and restoration. I also, last year on August 4th, I got married. That makes me cry. I got married to a very amazing man. Oddly enough, it was Jordan's man crush. Oddly enough, he just met Jordan. And Jordan, the first time we met him, I was pregnant with Ever, which would be his soon-to-be son. So crazy, we should make a weird book. And we left there, and he goes, Jordan said, there is just something special about Jake. And I think there's, the Cincinnati Inquirer just did a follow-up on our family. They saw how we got married, and Cincinnati got to see beauty restored. And now, guys, please don't get me wrong. Not that it's like, now everything's okay. Like, it is not. I still hurt. I honestly don't get why, he's an amazing man that he has taken on what he has. It's by God. It's by God's strength that he can, and he does. And so anyways, again, I feel privileged that I have gotten to see this. I know, again, like I said, there's times we're not going to get to see that here on earth. There are things that we are struggling with and the pain of it that we will not see the beauty of it until we are in the presence of the Lord. And that is hard. And so, guys, I want to, before I'm done, I just want to challenge you guys to and ask you, what perspective do you have right now? Do you have our eyes or do you have Jesus? What perspective? What are you looking? Are you more concerned for the glory of God or for your relief? Are you willing to be uncomfortable for others, even if it is somebody who has hurt you the deepest? Are you willing for them? Are you willing to feel that pain so that they may know you? They may know Christ. You bring these to the Lord, you tell him, and he will comfort you. So I'm just going to go ahead. I'm going to pray. And guys, I would be honored to pray with anyone throughout this time today. So grab me, and I will just cry and pray with you. And so let's go ahead and pray. God, I feel so honored. I feel so thankful that I've gotten to meet these women today. Even though I haven't gotten to meet them individually, I feel like we have gotten to grow closer. We've gotten a bond. Oh, God, I thank you that you never leave us. You never forsake us. I love that you never grow weary. And God, I pray over each woman right now that has faced trial, or that when she does, that she will have your perspective. God, would you give us that eternal mindset? Would we be reminded that what is happening here is momentary, these light, momentary afflictions? Give us that strength to keep going when it doesn't feel momentary, and that we need you moment by moment. God, help us to not be women, that we are not of those who are pushed back and destroyed, but we are those who persevere. God, that when we are facing trial, that you promise that it will not overcome us. God, that light shines in the darkness, and darkness shall not overcome it. I pray that we do. We just have that strength to be more in that intimate relationship, that we are more concerned with your glory than our own personal relief. And God, would you give us a heart for others to know you so deeply that our pain is not even just a block. God, I pray for those who have people in their life that have wounded them very deeply. And God, I feel thankful I got an apology. Some of us, we will never get an apology. God, I pray just for those women that you could just touch them deeply, that you could cover those wounds. Be the salve, be the comfort that only you can be. And so, God, when we leave here, I just pray that we go out with joy. I pray that these women would claim the stories that you have given them, that they would pursue the truth of their story, that they would compare that to your truth, and that they would start finding life in it. And in so doing, that they would invite others to do the same. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.